Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merritt from the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach with this week's Snacks for the Brain. Snacks for your brain, snacks for my brain, snacks for our brains, snacks for the brain. Well, this week I know it's Valentine's week. I know it's a holiday I don't put a lot of stock in, you know what I mean? Hallmark holidays. I'd still like to share something about the heart. A little bit of audio from an interactive video conference held back in February of 2005. A presentation from Dr. Glenn McCombs. Dr. McCombs shared a detailed, interesting presentation about the way the human heart works with middle schoolers in Texas and New York, and he answered three questions from his student participants. Dr. McCombs, Associate Director of Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, is a multi-talented physiologist who loves to share his knowledge with students through the CSO's IVC program. You'll appreciate, I hope, the conversational tone of Dr. McCombs' responses to the following three questions. The first question is very holiday appropriate. A student wants to know, what happens if you have a hole in your heart?
What if just like on your pump there's like a leak in your heart when it's pumping? What would that do to you?
That's a very good question. What happens when there might be a leak in the heart? For the most part, if there's a leak in the wall of the heart, you got big problems. That just can't happen. You can't have like a hole in the heart muscle because it would just squeeze the blood right out into your thoracic cavity, and then your thoracic cavity would fill with blood, and that would compress your lungs, and the blood wouldn't be going anywhere. So we've got to rule that one out. That would be probably close to fatal. However, you may have a leak in a valve. The one-way valve might not perform properly. Now, a good example of this, and actually somebody I work with had this as a child. It's not very common anymore, but she had what's called rheumatic fever. And this is an infection that actually infects the valve between the chambers and ultimately between the ventricle and the blood vessel that it serves. So when the valve gets leaky, what happens? Well, remember I said the one-way valves keep blood from going backwards. When a valve goes bad and allows blood to go backwards, then the heart becomes very inefficient. And so it's circulating kind of the same blood over and over again. And so if we had a leak in a valve, it could be something that isn't very problematic if it's a small leak, as with the person I work with, or it could be a very serious leak and it could require valve replacement. We do have surgical means to fix that now. Good question. Any other questions? Go ahead.
What if one pump went up? What if it pumped faster, one side of the heart pumped faster than the other?
That would be a problem. And the thing is, it doesn't happen because the pacemaker cells spread their electrical signal over the surface of the heart so that the two atria, the left and right sides, fire and contract at the same time, and then the two ventricles, the left and right sides, fire and contract at the same time. So under normal conditions, the two sides of the heart will always be working rhythmically and in conjunction, work together. Now, if there's an electrical problem, if there's a conduction problem where the signal doesn't travel properly from the pacemaker over the surface of the heart, you may get a situation where not just one side or the other goes faster, but the different chambers start to work at different times. So what happens is sometimes the top two chambers will undergo their sequence completely independently from the bottom two chambers. And that doesn't work because the top two chambers dump blood into the bottom chambers and then the bottom chambers squeeze blood out. So they have to have that coordinated pattern so blood falls into the ventricles and the ventricles push it out. If they're working independently, then the ventricle may not fill properly, it won't have any blood to squeeze out, and then you're going to get all screwed up with your circulation. So it won't necessarily happen between the left and right sides going different, but if you have a heart problem and it goes into what we call fibrillation, where the electricity just starts running all over the heart and it just doesn't contract properly and in rhythm, then it would cause a problem. And in that case, in fibrillation, what has to happen is we get the paddles out. You've seen it on ER or something. They put the paddles on somebody's chest. They shock the heart. They temporarily stop the heart and get all the cells to relax. And then your pacemaker resets the signal and gets it going rhythmically again. Good question. Any more questions?
Can you ever have too much blood in your body?
Yeah, you can actually have too much blood in your body because the blood, the fluid in blood, think about blood as cells plus fluid, red blood cells, white blood cells, platelet cells, but the fluid medium is really the same as the fluid that's throughout the body. You're wet inside all over. You don't have any dry spaces. So we've got fluid everywhere. And what happens is if your fluid levels start to get too high, it winds up in the bloodstream. And too much blood in the bloodstream causes problems for the heart and pumping. Sometimes individuals that have hypertension, high blood pressure, they will have to take medications that will reduce their blood volume, will actually reduce the amount of salt and water that they retain, and that helps to relieve some of that fluid pressure and allows the heart to work at a more normal rate and more normal strength. So too much can be bad. Not enough, of course, can be bad for probably the obvious reasons. If you don't have enough blood, then it's not circulating properly. Very good questions. Any more?
Okay, I think we're done here at Center.
Okay, I enjoyed it. And again, if you have more questions and want to email or teacher wants to email us, sciencehotline@vanderbilt.edu. Thank you very much and have a good day. We'll see some of you tomorrow, I think, for Freaky Friday.
Yep,
thank you very much.
That's it, y'all, for episode number 25 of Snacks for the Brain. As always, check out the show notes site at snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com and check out the other offerings at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO.
Music for today's podcast provided by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Check them out.
Take care, y'all. See ya!